Well, the days of unleavened bread, we've been through them. This is the last day, and here we are again, and we're meeting. So did we learn some lessons this week? Are there some things that we're going to take away from these days of unleavened bread? You know, God gives them to us for a reason. Think about all the physical things that we have done this past week. First, putting unleavened bread out. God gives us physical things, physical examples to teach us lessons that we're supposed to relate into the spiritual. Baptism. When you're baptized, it's a physical act. You're taken, you're put beneath the water, and then you're brought back out. And what does it picture? It pictures the old person being buried. And then you're brought out new, clean. It's a symbol, and it's something that we do physical, but it typifies something that is spiritual. During this Passover season, we started with several things that we've done, and they're all physical acts, but they point to spiritual things. The Passover service, we begin by washing each other's feet. Another person's feet. It helps us to realize that we're servants, to help us to humble ourselves. It's an act that we do to try and teach us something in the spiritual. It doesn't make you and I immediately humble, does it? Just because we kneel down there and we wash somebody's feet. No, it's the thought process that we take away from what we've just done. And then we came back into this room and we took of the bread and the wine. Now we could have just basically read the scriptures, couldn't we have, and understood what Christ's sacrifice is. But no, a minister stands up here and he actually breaks the bread in front of you to typify the broken body of our Savior Jesus Christ. And then we take of that, which pictures eating of His flesh or spiritual food. And also it represents healing in our lives as we come and ask God. And the blood. We each took a very small sip of wine that represents Christ's blood. It's His sacrifice. He covered our sins. These are all physical acts, but they typify, they point us back to very spiritual things in our life and what it means. We partake of that service and we recommit that Jesus Christ and God His Father are in us, that we're a part of that family. And we do this each year. And then the next day, we go into the days of unleavened bread. Today I'd like to talk to you about the spiritual lessons that we can glean from the days of unleavened bread. Now I have four. There are many more, but I picked these four. They're things that I've been reflecting on this past week. First point, putting leaven out of our homes and our lives is hard work. Putting sin out of our lives is hard work. We do that. We begin the week by taking and putting leaven out. And it's difficult, isn't it? You have to look. You have to clean. There are many things you do to take that and put that out of your life. God gives us the example of ancient Israel when they left Egypt. Back in Exodus. And it wasn't easy for them to leave Egypt either. God sent Moses to them and he said, God has sent me. I'm here to lead you out of Egypt. Now he went to Pharaoh and Pharaoh said, no, you're not going anywhere. They participated in some of the plagues. that God brought on Egypt. Until the last, till the ninth plague when he took and the death angel went over. The Israelites had to been thinking, you know, they're looking, they're watching what God's doing. He's punishing Egypt, but he's also showing them that they're going to leave Egypt. And he is the one that brought them out. It was nothing that they did on their own. So as that death angel passed over that evening, it had an impact on their lives. And the next day, they packed up with all their possessions and what they could carry and what they could glean from the Egyptians. And they put it on their livestock. They put it on their backs. You know, United Van Lines didn't show up with 2,000 trucks to load these people and the Greyhounds to load them and take them out. No, they walked out. It was hard. It wasn't easy. And that picture's walking out of sin. Leaving sin is not an easy task. It's something, though, that we need to work at. And we need to remember that's part of us. We need to be putting sin out, just as we have put the leaven out. Let's go to Hebrews 12th chapter. I'm going to try and slow down today, not race through it. Hebrews 12 and verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. You know, our race is not a 100-yard dash. It isn't a sprint where you're over in a matter of seconds for some, maybe minutes for others, or even a marathon. A marathon ends, doesn't it, after 26 miles? No, our race is every day. Once we've committed to God the Father and Jesus Christ, every day that we get up, we're in that race again. And it is a marathon until Christ returns or until our death. So it's an endurance race. Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. It is easy to become weary with the struggles that we go through, the fights that we have to put up with. Every day is a struggle. Yes, we have joy. There are occasions that are very joyful, but there are also occasions that come in our lives that we struggle with, whether it be somebody that's persecuting us or being taken advantage of. There's lots of situations out there that happens to us every day that are not pleasant. But those are things that we must put up with. We must endure through. Verse 4, you have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. None of us has done what Jesus Christ did. Before his crucifixion, he went and he prayed 3 times to his Father to prepare himself to go through the ordeal that was ahead of him. It even says that his sweat was like drops of blood as he went before God. You know, before he was tempted of Satan, the devil, He fasted for 40 days. Now you start looking at the example that Jesus Christ left for us. It wasn't even easy for him, but he prepared himself. He went to God. He mentally prepared himself so that he would not be tempted by the sins that we're ensnared with. And that's the example that he has left for us. When it comes to putting leavening out, it is hard work. It takes time and an effort to find all the leavening. And the same thing is true when we're working against sin. You know, when you start to de-leaven your house, and I'll have to say that the majority of this normally falls on the ladies of the house. I know it does at my house. As she goes through and she starts cleaning, she went through the pantry, she went through the cupboards, and everything that has leavening in it, a product, or a leavening agent, was there on the counter in the kitchen. And on Tuesday, not Friday, but Tuesday, the garbage comes. So guess what? Everything goes in the garbage can on Tuesday. But yet, you can go out, you can have sandwiches, there are things you can eat that are leavened. She just chooses to have it out and gone by the time we start the days of unleavened bread. I know there in my office, I have some protein bars that are in my drawer. Well, they have a little pretzel on top and covered with chocolate, and you buy them at Costco. And so they were in my drawer, and she had come by the office, and being a good wife that she is, she went through and she mentioned to me that I had those down there, and I thought, oh yeah, I got to remember to take care of those. Well, she took a couple, and there was two left. And come Friday, I'm off doing something, not even thinking about them. Well, she came by and she picked them up, took them home, and I found them on our back counter. And I thought, whoa, those are the two that she picked up the other day. And then it reminded me I still had two in my office. And I'm going, uh-oh. You know, we're going to be heading to Passover here in about an hour, and I've already flunked the test. Well, she had taken care of the two that she had taken, and we ate the other two on the way over. So we took care of that. So we were clean. We had them out. But, you know, those are things that sneak in, and you've got to pay attention. You've got to look for them. This is a time for also in our lives, to analyze ourselves, to take a good look at us. Let's go to Psalms, the 19th chapter. Psalms 19 and verse 12. Who can understand his errors? Who can understand his fault? And our sins. Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have a dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgressions. We need to look for all of our faults, the ones that are hidden, the ones that are secret, the ones that we forget about or we put away in a drawer and we close that drawer and they're not there looking at or we're not looking at it. That's part of this whole process of putting leaven out of our lives. It's also a process that we need to take with us from these days of unleavened bread as we put out sin in our lives. For the second point that I think that we can glean from the lessons of these past days of unleavened bread is that we become conscious of leaven and the products that it creates. You know, I don't know how many of you heard, but there's some salt products, some salt that you put in your salt shaker that actually has leavening in it. They put it in so it comes out of the salt shaker better, so it doesn't stick. Now, I never would have looked there. Somebody was being diligent and helping us all out. So now you have to look at your salt shaker. You know, I don't think the intent there is to leaven anything, but if you look close, some salt does have it in it. So it makes us aware of leavening. We're always looking at products. If we're in the store, if we're going to purchase something, we're examining the label to see if it has leavening in it. I mean, there's certain things that are very obvious. A loaf of bread, a sandwich, all those things are very, very obvious. I can remember each year for unleavened breads, as we were younger, the big question was, did Wheat Thins have leavening? And people would call them and they would say, no, no. But yeah, now you look at the store shelf and they have leavening in them, and they also have original written across the front. So, you know, go figure. You know, I don't know. All those years, I thought I was eating unleavened crackers, and I may have not have been. So, but I think we're all caught in the same thing. So, but we're looking. We're looking for those things that have leavening. We're looking for those sins. We're examining ourselves because we need to be more conscious of sin and what sin is in our life and what it does to us. Doing these physical actions of leavening are examples to us. It reminds us that we're to look at ourselves during this period of time. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all fall short of the mark. We all have sinned. We all have secret sins. We all have hidden sins. And we need to be aware of those sins, and we need to be working at putting them out, taking them out of our lives. Back when I was a senior in high school, many, many years ago, I'd catch the bus outside. It was the Spokane Transit lines back then. You had a card, and the bus left at a certain time in the morning for all the school kids, and it went through and picked us up, and I caught it about a block away from my house. Get down to school, and you had to take that early bus, or you ended up walking. So I always made sure I was on it. And I did not have a first class, so I had like a study hall or an open class that first time. And part of the time I'd be up in the library finishing homework from the day before. And then there was times that I was down in the cafeteria visiting with my friends. And the cooks there in the lunchroom would make fresh cinnamon rolls. And for 10 cents you could get 2 cinnamon rolls, and for another 10 cents you could get a little carton of milk. And I'd indulge in that every once in a while. Well, this particular day during the days of unleavened bread, I'd went down there, and I don't think any of my friends were down there, but I was hungry when I walked in there and I smelled those cinnamon rolls. And so I bought a couple and I sat down there, and I'm going to town. You know, back then I only weighed 170 pounds and breakfast was long gone by 8 o'clock in the morning. And so I had that first cinnamon roll just about down when it hit me. And you know, I just froze my thought pattern because I had 2 cinnamon rolls there and I really didn't want to throw them away. And so I was trying to play this game where I wasn't admitting that I was in unleavened breads, but I knew there was something wrong, you know, and I'm doing this mental game, and I managed to finish the first one. But I finally had to give up and take that second one and put it in the trash and move on. But it was hard. But those are things that happen. You find things. You do something. You eat a sandwich. You do something that has a leavened product in it. It shows you that you are going to sin. There is sin in your life. And we need to work to get that out. Romans 6, verse 12. Romans, the 6th chapter, and verse 12. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Brethren, these days help us to be very conscious of sin. The leaven helps us to realize what sin is, and it makes it obvious as we become more conscious, as we look for it in our lives. The third point I'd like to bring is that physical cleaning helps us to see the need for a spiritual cleansing. As we did our cleaning, it should have helped us to remind us that we need to be cleaning sin out of our lives. You know, sometimes we're on fire when we're cleaning something. You know, you're really into it. You want to make this a really polished job. And other times you're in a hurry and you do what we call a lick and a miss. Yeah, it's done, but it's not a deep cleansing. It's not a thorough cleansing. It's not looking at it, but yet you went through the motions and you did it. James, the first chapter, talks about being a doer. James 1, verse 23. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in the mirror. He observes himself and goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he is. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, that one shall be blessed in what he does. So what you'll find is that God wants us to look into his law. It's the mirror. We need to look at his law and ask ourselves if we're following those things. Where are you going to find your sins except if you don't go to the Word of God? We have to look at God's Word. It reveals to us what sin is, because we know it's a transgression of the law. So we need to understand that. You know, this isn't negative, but this is very positive. None of us want something to keep us out of God's kingdom. So the more we become like God, the happier we should be. The more we can be like God, the more we can imitate God. The more we can walk as God walks, thinks as God thinks, and the more we can have the attitude of God, the better off we are. Remember, these just aren't days for us to get together and have a good time, but these are days that should impact our lives. They should bring us to a higher relationship with God our Father. But it takes effort. Let's go to Matthew 13. And I'll just quote verse 23. Here we're talking about the parable of the sower. In verse 23 it says, "But he who receives seed on good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Not every one of us is going to produce the same. Different people are given different talents. But there should be an increase. There always should be an increase. Let's go to Luke 19 and verse 12 and look at the parable of the pounds. Luke 19 and verse 12. Therefore he said, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. It's talking about Jesus Christ. So he came down, he sacrificed his life, and then he went back to the Father. So he called 10 of his servants and he delivered them 10 minas, and said to them, do business till I come. So he gave them some pounds or dollars, things to do. And he said, to continue on and do business. Well, when you do business, you go out and hopefully you make money or you're out of business. So, I mean, business is being about being productive, being about bringing in income, doing things that produce income. So they were admonished to go out. And some of them did do business. They traded. Some gained 10 pounds, others gained 5. And one even went out and hid his. He didn't even take it and give it to the bank to at least get some interest on it. He did nothing with it. We see that the reward for those have been given lower. It says, now ones who took overcoming and took growth seriously, they were the ones who were given responsibilities in God's kingdom. Some over 10 cities, some over 5 cities, depending on how much they overcame, how much they grew. And that's what we're to be doing in our spiritual life. We're supposed to be growing. We're supposed to be doing. We're to become doers of God's work. He wants us all to overcome and not to just go out and bury that talent, His Holy Spirit that He's given to us. No, we need to be using that. And these days of unleavened bread bring us back to the fact that we need to be doing. As we put out leavening out of our lives, we also need to be doing and putting sin out of our lives also. The fourth point I have, it is impossible to get all the leaven out or products totally out of our lives. You know, there's some nook and cranny, there's some area that we'll find sometime down the road that maybe we missed. When we clean, we cannot totally be clean. We're not all perfect. I remember Don and Wilma Robinson, when they first came into the church, she was relaying a story and to me after Unleavened Breads the first year, in which every year for Christmas she would make up these fruit cakes before Christmas, and then she would hand them out, and then if she didn't hand them all out, she would freeze them and keep them to hand out at a later time. Well, in that whole process in there, they came into the church, they were baptized, and they went through that first days of unleavened bread. And it was about 2 or 3 months down the road, she was digging through her freezer, and there it was, all nice and wrapped, a couple fruitcakes. And it hit her all at once, you know. I didn't throw those out during unleavened bread. So as much as we can do, somewhere, sometime, we're going to find one of those hidden loaves stuck back in where someplace we forgot to look. we didn't search out. Let's go to Matthew, the 19th chapter. Matthew 19 and verse 25. When his disciples heard it, they were greatly astonished, saying, "Who can be saved?" You know, here's his disciples as Christ is talking to them, and he just got through explaining that it's harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom than it is for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. And they were amazed. They're going, how can anyone ever enter into God's kingdom if you look at the analogy of putting an animal that size through such a small object? So who can be saved? When we look at our sins, do we get frustrated and wonder if we'll ever be saved? How in the world can we ever be in God's kingdom if we can't get these sins out? Verse 26, but Jesus looked at them and said to them, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." What this points out to us is that simply God's mercy and God's grace that He extends to us, because it's you and I on a daily basis with God, as we get down in front of our Father on our knees and we ask Him to forgive us, as we go to Him and we repent of those things, those sins that we see, that we know that are in our lives, and we ask for His help and His Spirit, and He forgives us. Hebrews, the 4th chapter, talks about that we're to come to Him and He will forgive us. Hebrews, the 4th chapter, and verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. It's only through God's mercy and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ that you and I can be cleansed of our sins. As we know, that's what this Passover pictures, that we're putting sin out. And as we put sin out, part of that process is to repent of it, to acknowledge it, to be conscious of it. And we cannot do it on our own. We need God in our lives. As we took of that Passover, we recommitted to the fact that Jesus Christ and God the Father is in our life. And it's only through them and the sacrifice and the picture of this time that we truly can be in His kingdom. So God is looking for a repentant attitude, a repentant approach that we're to have in our process of putting sin and leavening out of our lives. 1 John 1:9, and I'll quote, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." As we examine ourselves, let's not forget the very important point that we are to go before God. And as even as we take that sin and we put it in the garbage can, it will come back into our life in the spiritual sense. And we have to fill that void with God's Word. We have to fill that void with God's Spirit as we overcome, as we continue to run that endurance race. Let's go to 1 Peter, the 4th chapter. I didn't write this one down, so I might be in trouble here. Kind of doing this one off memory. Well, I don't see it, so let's go to Revelations 21 and verse 6. Revelations 21, verse 6. And he said to me, "It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts." Verse 7. "He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." During these days, I've only brought out a few lessons that we could learn from these days that we've just finished. And yes, we still have till sundown today. As we go out for lunch, we'll have to pay attention to those products that have leavening in it, and even this evening before sundown. But afterwards, we go back to our normal lives once again. But yet, we should take the lessons that we've learned, the things that we've done, the physical things that resemble the spiritual through these days, and we need to make them a part of our life. It's an endurance race. We have to remember it's every day as we get up. It needs to be a part of our life. We all want to be a part of God's kingdom. So let's use these physical lessons to teach us the spiritual.